child of the king, that's been around a long time. You know, I heard it years and years ago, and then it went for a period of time. Didn't seem like I heard the song. We went to a funeral up in Ellijay for a little boy. Didn't make it. He was born. I think he might have lived a few days, if any. He was stillborn. His mom and daddy wanted him. They wanted him. They prayed for him. They asked God for him. They just didn't understand why. Couldn't have him. You ever had things in your life you just didn't understand? Just don't know why it has to be the way that it is. Rather than quitting on God, rather than laying it down, rather than blaming God, they had a funeral that honored God. And they had a lady come in and sing that song. And she reared back and sang that out a cappella, and I began to think, you know, it's more than what we got here. We suffer loss, we suffer pain, everybody's going through something. But there's more. God's got something for us. He's prepared it for us. And when you get there, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to like it. I'm a child of the King. The world may be changing, but God's not changed. Everything that God said would come to pass is going to come to pass. We just need to keep on serving Him in the meantime. You got your Bible this morning. I'm going to read very familiar scripture. It's in 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Some of you, the little ones, I mean, they'll understand. Some of you, if you remember this story about David and Goliath. But I want to just try to preach around this topic this morning. Remember the cause. You know, when we're doing things at church and we're serving God, and sometimes I do look around and we got a lot of things going on here. Sometimes people pass by and they say, it seems like there's people at that church all the time. Well, praise God. Amen. Because the world's not stopping, okay? And if we're going to be able to reach anybody with the gospel of Jesus Christ, guess what? We got to do it now. Right. Yesterday, one of the songs that was played at the funeral was a song, it's a country song, says, Till You Can't, or Till You Can't. See, I'm even got even a country song. I'm more country than most country. But what was the gist of the song is you can serve God. Basically, is here's what I hear. You can love your loved ones till you can't. You can serve God till you can't. Let me tell you something. Here's something to understand. One day, the clock's going to run out. And I cannot tell you the times that I have had sessions with people talking to them, trying to get them to understand. We need to get things lined up to serve God because time is going to run out. You ever see anybody say, well, you know, I intend to get right with God. I intend to get my life back right. I intend to get back to serving the Lord. I even had a man tell me this. I know I ought to be preaching the gospel, and I intend to. Well, guess what? The clock's going to run out. I heard a preacher, a friend of mine, he said, I'm wore out. He said, but I'll soon get to rest because this life's temporal. Amen. Just some thoughts there. Let's read the scripture out of 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I want to read a few verses for the sake of time. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to try to give you the thoughts and try to get you to understand and then bring the points to you that I feel like God would have me to this morning. And it says this in the first verse. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Succoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Succoth and Azekah. And Esbabedam and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched in the valley of Elah, and they set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now that is 9 feet and 9 inches tall. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass or armor upon his legs, and a target or basically a breastplate of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. Spearhead weighed 20 pounds. Now, folks, this was a giant. It says, and he stood and he cried out unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I want you to see and hear what's going on in the story at this point. There's two armies, one on each side of the valley up on the mountaintop looking down. And here Goliath comes down every day and he challenges them. And he said, you send your best. And if I can defeat him, then you serve us. If he defeats me, then we'll serve you. The people were very afraid. Let's go down to the 20th verse. It says, and David rose up early in the morning, and he left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and went unto the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and he shouted for the battle. Young man, keeper of the sheep, not old enough to go to war, but he wanted to be fighting with his brothers. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came the champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. You can underline that right there, and David heard them, because we're going to come back to that. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with riches, and he will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after the same manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. The 29th verse is our text verse. It says, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? And what I want to talk about for just a few minutes this morning is remember the cause. He said, is there not a reason? You know, when we look at things that God is doing at Hiram First Baptist Church and we're trying to spread the gospel, is there not a reason? There's a purpose for us to be here and to be serving the Lord this morning. So I want you to look at the first thing this morning is that David was awakened to the cause. If you look at this verse up here in the 23rd verse, it says, and David heard them. You see, the adversary, he was big and he was powerful. You could say he had a big sword. He had a big spear. He was a big, powerful presence. He also had a big mouth. And he was defying the armies of God, and he was defying God, and he was mocking God, and he was saying, "We shall destroy you. There's no use in you moving forward. You might as well give up." I want to ask you, what are we hearing today? What are we hearing in the world? I know what the world's saying, but what are we really hearing? Are we hearing a call to go and tell the world about Jesus? Or are we hearing that we might as well be quiet because what we have to offer is not wanted by the world anymore? And if we don't be quiet, we're going to have those come against us and force us to be quiet. What are you hearing? You know, we had Bible study this week, and Brother Lamar Clark taught, and he says, talking about how he was giving his testimony and the people that he's led to the Lord, he said, what we ought to realize as Christians is we have the greatest thing the world could ever expect to hope to hear, and that's the story of Jesus Christ. What more can the world have to give me than what I have being a born-again Christian? All the world can give you is what the world has. You can have the things of the world, the riches of the world, the treasures of the world, the pride of life. But when you die and lay down your head and you stand before God, it will mean nothing. It will be gone. What are you hearing and what are you seeing? I remember a couple of years ago, I was out actually right in a property line of a piece of property that I was looking at for deer season, and I had one of my boys with me, I believe it was Matthew, and we were on a four-wheeler, and we come over a hill, and I looked, and there was a ladder that had a rope that was hanging down underneath the tree, and I looked at it, and I went over there, and there was a cup from the Quick Trip, and somebody had brought, and I looked at that, and I thought, somebody is out here actually contemplating taking their life. Do you know how many people in America today are troubled, that have needs, that have something in their life that they're going through? Nobody may even know about it. How many people just need to hear the story that there is a God, and He's not dead? And when we pray to Him, He hears us, and He cares about us, and He knows what our needs are. What about all the political and social unrest in America today? What about all the things that are going on around the world? Sometimes people get so concerned as they're looking at it and thinking about it that they get to the point that they can't even function and move forward with their life. I want to tell you something as a Christian. We ought to be concerned, but here's what our number one concern ought to be. It's fulfilling the will of God for our life, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ until Jesus comes, because one day our opportunity is going to be passed. Amen. Not that I'm so worried I can't function and move forward, because we know who's going to win. We know what our end is as Christians. The world can come against us and it can persecute us. But folks, there's something. You ever heard that song, "You can't take that away from me"? What is that? That's the promise of eternity with God. Cultural degradation, violence, mayhem, all the rioting in the streets. I just look at it and I tell my children, stay away from there. I saw one time, and a lady, her son had supposedly been going off with some of his friends, and she looked on the news, and there he was in one of those parks tearing stuff up. She went to where he was at, pulled out with a car, had a belt, and beat him back into the car. Amen. It ought to be a shame for somebody to think to get their what point across, they're going to go downtown and tear something up. I thought, God bless that mama. You know, if it hadn't been for the writing, they'd have probably locked her up. That's what's wrong today. Amen. The rejection of God. What does it do to you when you see the problems with the drug epidemics in America today? What does it do to you when you see somebody that's hooked on crystal meth and their bodies have been changed and their skin is changing and they've smoked a crack pipe till their teeth are falling out? They've lost everything that they have. What about when you look at the situation with the opioid epidemic in America today, when people are dying and they're dying, and what are we doing? We're going to sue the drug companies. I tell you what we need is a return to God, return to the things of God, because God has the ability to make an impact and a change in our lives. You know, the problem with it, and we need to be careful, is we don't become adjusted to it. And we get to the point that there's just so much going on that you even say, well, you know, it's just everywhere. And you just begin to accept it and you think that it's normal, but it's not. You know, when David came down and he heard the words of Goliath, it moved him. And he said, is there not a cause? You see, David was awakened to the cause. And folks, I want to tell you what I believe the church in America needs to do today is be awakened to the cause and recognize that the enemy is out there, and what the enemy wants to do is to destroy you and to destroy your home. Now, how was David awakened? He was awakened by the anxiety. If you look at verse 24 and you look at verse 25 and you go back to verse number 11, the people were very afraid. They were afraid. They were troubled by what they're seeing. You know, when the lion roars, the people tremble. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, the scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You see, there are many troubled and people who are afraid who need to know that everything's going to be all right. There's a lot of people that just need to know that something, that we have a helper and we have a hope. They need to know that there is hope, because some people do not have any hope. You know, I heard a story this week and it troubled me, and I thought how common that it was. It was a family, had six children living in California, somewhere around Los Angeles, and they said, we just want something different. We want a better life for our family. And they moved to Texas, and they took everything they had, and they bought this little farm, and the man was driving to work. And, you know, you know how it is in life when you're moving forward? What happens when you're doing the best you can, and you're driving to work, and you got one vehicle, and the vehicle breaks down? And then when the vehicle breaks down, and then the company, they don't need you anymore, and you get laid off, and all of a sudden you're working odd jobs, and you just don't have the ability to do the things that you need to do, and then all of a sudden the washing machine breaks, or the air conditioning breaks, and it did in Texas, and it was up around 105 degrees, and they couldn't get it fixed, and the refrigerator quit, and they didn't have cold milk for their children, and then the mother finds out she's expecting seventh child. You know what the world says? You don't need that. The reason I heard about this story is because it's a true story. Somebody found this mother, and when she was going to have an abortion, and they got her, and they tried to help her, and they tried to help her understand that there is hope. Do you know how many homes right now in America are struggling week to week, paycheck to paycheck, just trying to get by? Folks, that's been around. It's always going to be around. But I want to tell you something. I'd rather go through something with him. I'd rather have God on my team. I'd rather have God in my home. When my dad passed away, he passed away with COPD at 58 years old. He wasn't in good health. He couldn't go to church, and they didn't have a lot of money. But I'll tell you what, he had a relationship with God. There was so much of a testimony that it impacted me. Can I tell you how many people need hope? Where do we get our hope? If your banking account was full, but your heart was empty, you still would not have hope. That's why we believe in Celebrate Recovery, that let's get them saved. You can get them sober and they still die and go to hell. He was awakened by the anxiety, but he was also awakened by the apathy. Well, here's David. He comes down and he looks, and his brothers are in the ditch, and they're fighting, but they're not going to face Goliath. And the problem is, everybody that seemed to come up against Goliath, they went up against him already so afraid that their fear led them. David was awakened by the apathy. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Can I tell you today, there's one God. The Bible says, one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says there's no other name given among men of those under heaven other than the name of Jesus, whereby you must be saved. That's Jesus. Now, here's what we need to understand when we're in a battle or we're in a situation. If God is being defied, what God wants us to do is find our place, just like Jeremiah. The Lord told Jeremiah, "Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them." Oh, David come down just a ruddy little lad. The Bible says that Saul actually called him a stripling. Y'all hadn't heard that in a while, have you? A stripling, that means a ruddy little lad. You know, are we saying this? Think about this. God send me. God help me to be willing to fight in this battle. God, would you help me today to find somebody that I can help? And do you understand, like David did, that Goliath was a liar, the devil is a liar, and if he can get you to be afraid and get you to close your mouth and stop giving your testimony, that's what he wants to do. You see, not only was David awakened to the cause, but David accepted the cause. Here's what David said when he heard the whole story. David said, "I'll go. I'll fight against him." You ever thought about why nobody else was going? I want to caution you to be careful what you say about somebody that's going. Are you going? Sometimes I hear stories about somebody, you know, when they're going to do this work over here, going to do that work over there. David was going because nobody else was going. And what God wants us to do is he wants us to go. You don't have to go to do somebody else's work. Do the work that God wants you to do. Give your testimony. If you're saved by the grace of God, just tell them what God's done for you. You say, "Well, I don't know how to quote all those verses." You don't have to. Just tell them what God's done for you. See, David went because he understood the purpose of the battle. Here's what I want you to realize. The enemy was angry, threatening the things that are most precious to us. And just very similar to what was going on in their day, it's going on in our day. The enemy was defying our God. Do you know there are those who mock God, they make fun of God? They don't care if you go to church, as long as you don't preach the Bible. They don't care if you go to church, as long as it don't impact your life. In fact, you can go to church on Sunday, as long as you're with them on Saturday night, it's fine. But if it affects you and it changes you, can I tell you something? I like to be around people that have been impacted and changed by the things of God. I'll tell you how. When I get around somebody that loves the Lord, you know what? We're going to talk about the Lord. And there's a kindred spirit, because the Bible says his spirit, big S, bears witness with our spirit, little s, that we are the sons of God. We got something in common. We got the same Heavenly Father. I love to be around God's people, but do you know that the enemy wants to defy everything that's important to us? Wants to destroy our way of life. It wants to destroy our churches. Wants to destroy our homes. And it wants to keep you from having the ability to teach your children what you believe is right based on the Word of God. You see, what the devil and the enemy has done is usually when you see a society begin to be corrupted, it starts in the men. And then when you see it come into the homes with the women, then it's getting really worse. But I want to tell you where the devil's at today. He's after our children. And he's coming as fast as he can. And we ought to understand that if the enemy makes it across the valley to where we're at, then who's going to protect our homes? Sometimes when I begin to think about how David accepted the cause, he understood the purpose of the battle. Do you understand the purpose of the battle? Can you imagine having Bible school and they show up and they have a monitor here that represents whatever they believe is right, and they're going to tell you what you can and cannot teach? Folks, we need to stand up for what we believe in till you can't. You see, David accepted the cause also because he had a passion about being in the battle. It mattered. It mattered to him. He believed that God could deliver, and he just realized, as little of a person as he was, he just had to do his part. See, he understood the dangers if no one stood against the enemy. You know why you have to stand against the enemy? the natural enemy, the spiritual enemy, is because if the enemy overruns the lines, the enemy comes in your home. And we don't want the enemy in our home. We want to rebuke him in the name of Jesus, and we want to stand up and do what God would have for us to do. Y'all realize how many people in this world right now are just looking for some answers. They're looking for hope. They're looking for peace. They're looking for something that will help them be able to move forward with their lives. Now, here's something I want you to understand, and we're going to move on. Just because you get right with God and serve God don't mean all of a sudden you're going to check your banking account and it's going to be full. All your bills are going to be paid. You got to have a plan. You got to work the plan, but you got to have God with you even when you're in the valley. It makes a difference. I want you to see this. David advanced the cause. How did he advance the cause? In spite of those that opposed him, he advanced the cause. You see, the people around David, they actually begin to question him. What did his brother say in 17 and 28? His brother actually accused him of pride and naughtiness of heart. Okay, here he is, his brothers are elder, and he's just young. He may have been 15, 16, 17, somewhere in that range, but he wasn't old enough to go to battle. They questioned his motive. They also questioned his maturity. When David comes down and he's standing before Saul, Saul looks at David and said, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." Even called him a stripling there in the 56th verse. But, you know, here's what I want you to understand. If we do something for God and we don't care who gets the glory, then what we need to depend on is not our ability, but God's ability. Amen. I was thinking this week as we were in Bible study over there, and, you know, it's hard for a preacher to be quiet in Sunday school, but I try hard. And I knew that Brother Lamar was teaching, so I sat there and I just bit my tongue and I wrote notes in my little note thing in my phone. But I thought about this, and I want you to think about it. Does God do things because of us, or does he do things in spite of us? You think about it for just a minute. Because if you think it's because of you, your pride will begin to be lifted up, and you'll begin to be feeling good about yourself, and you'll think, well, you know, if God just had me on his team, then everything would be all right. But if you realize that God does things in spite of us, none of us are good enough, none of us can offer enough, none of us can present enough, you can never memorize enough scripture, you can never be good enough, but what you need to be is willing of the greatest ability that you can ever have to serve God, to defeat the enemy, is availability. And if you're not available, don't be critical like David's brothers were of him as a little lad. They said, "You're just a lad. Who's going to go?" David said, "I will go." Then they questioned his method. What'd Saul do? He said, "You come here. Let's put my armor on you." You remember what it said about Saul when Saul was basically chosen to be king? That Saul stood head and shoulders above every other man. So here's little David. He's not even grown up yet. And they take him and they put this big armor of Saul's upon him. I just about see him with a breastplate on. It goes down to about his knees. He's got on things that don't fit, and he picks up a sword that seems heavy. You know, he didn't say, "This doesn't fit me. Get me one that fits." But he says this, "I can't go with this because I haven't proved it." And Saul said, "Well, how are you going to stand against the enemy?" He said, "Well, let me just tell you what God's done for me. While I was keeping my father's sheep," he said, "I was there and I was watching the sheep, and a lion came out and got one of the sheep in its mouth. And I went after it and delivered the sheep." All he had was just a slingshot. It's not like a flip. That's different. A slingshot's just a couple of strings and a little leather pouch, and you put a stone in it, and he got good enough with it that he could hit that, you know, that lion, or he could hit that bear. And he said, "You know, God delivered the lion into my hands, and then a bear came, and I went after him as well." Now, folks, a bear is ferocious. Lion's bad enough. He said, "But God, not me, God delivered them into my hand." And he said, "God will also deliver this giant that defies the armies of the living God. God will be our deliverer. God delivered me then. God will deliver me now. Amen. What I think we need to understand is as we're going through life, like the song, everybody's going through something. Here's what we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But doesn't the Bible say to bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ? That's why we come together as a family of God, praying for one another, comforting one another, helping one another. David fought a lion and David fought a bear. And what did it do? It prepared him to face the giant. You don't know what kind of giants are coming. One time God gave me a message and it centers around Job and also around David. He is the God of our monsters. You ever had monsters seem like they're real in their head in your life? You think, God, I'm just minding my own business, trying to do good over here, trying to be what I'm supposed to be. Why am I having to face this giant? And then you get to the point, if you're not careful, the fear will overtake you. The power of the enemy will overtake you. But what David did is he drew on the strength from the past and he realized if God delivered me here and God delivered me there, if I just put my faith in the Lord and I honor him, then God can deliver me today.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
David took Saul's armor off and he laid it down and said, I can't go with it. I hadn't proved it. And he got his staff in his hand. And then he got his slingshot. And he went and he got five smooth stones out of the brook. Numerology in the Bible, five represents faith. He got those stones and he went and he saw Goliath coming. Goliath began to mock him, make fun of him, even to the point that he was offended that they would send little David out. And David came out and said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. He began to wind up that slingshot, and the Bible says that it hit Goliath in the forehead, and the scripture says that the stone sunk into his head. Now, folks, you know, you think about that, and you think, well, was he that good of a shot? Probably not. Are you that good? Question again, does God do things because of us or in spite of us? Have you ever had something in your life that you prayed specifically? God, send those words where they need to go. God, specifically answer this prayer. God, specifically move on our behalf. God, we need your help. Have you been in the altar ever where you cried out to God and said, God, if you do not move, it won't happen? We can't do it. Sometimes my wife prays for specific things. Now, I've told you some of my little things. You know, been a few times I would be praying, God help me, I'm working on something, I can't get it done. You ever prayed, God move, God help me find a job. God help my children to be safe. God watch over this situation. I've told my wife a few times I'd be going hunting, I'd say pray for a 150. Some of you know what a 150 is, but God already knows. But have you ever asked God in beg God to do something, and then we see God move in the little things, and then all of a sudden something happened, and do we really believe God can defeat the giant?
Yeah.
Goliath's nothing for God. He's nothing. But he was something for David. Folks, here's what I want you to see. It wasn't David that defeated Goliath. It was David's obedience and God's power. And when we look at what's going on in the world today, we need to be just like David when he said, is there not a cause? We need to remember the cause and understand that God has work for us to do at Hiram First Baptist Church. It will not happen because of my ability or because of your ability. It's going to happen because God is God. He has the power to do it. And if we surrender and just put ourselves into the place that he wants us to be, God's power can show up and do things that we would never, ever be able to do by ourselves. You see, so how did David advance the cause? What David did is he trusted in the Lord. By trusting in the Lord, the enemy was defeated. And you know, when that old stone sunk into Goliath's forehead and he fell, David did not have a sword in his hand. And the Bible said that David ran over and he pulled out the sword of Goliath. I could just about see it being more than he could actually probably manage. He cut off the head of the giant, and when he did, the armies of Israel began to scream and shout. And it energized them, and they came running, and the Philistines fled. They were just hours from being afraid that one person would be defeated, and they would be servants of the Philistines. You see, David advanced the cause and he encouraged God's people. And here's what I want you to understand as a child of God. When you're obedient to God and you serve God and you do the things of God, your obedience encourages somebody else. Somebody's watching us. Somebody needs to know that God's in control. Somebody needs to know that God has the power. Somebody needs to know that everything is going to be all right. Somebody needs to know that there is hope in the Lord. Now, looking within, I'll give this and then we'll get a song. We need to remember the cause and we need to trust in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 says this, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You see, we need to know that we can defeat the enemy. Now, the roars of the enemy may scare you. They may slow you down, but don't let them stop you. Have you ever got to the point you thought, well, I just don't know how I'm going to keep on going? Keep on going. Keep marching forward. It's like the poem, Footprints in the Sand. You ever got to the point that you said, God, I just don't know where you're at. I can't feel you. I can't see you. It may be then that God is actually doing the most work in your life. And then consider what we need to do to encourage God's people. There's a song in the old book that's got these words. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one and lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. You know, we went through a story in the Old Testament, the story of David and Goliath. He said, what I've done here is they're not a cause. Here's what I want us to understand as we get a song, as they come with a song, as you rise to your feet, is that Jesus is still the answer. Yes. Yesterday during Bible school, or Friday night actually, as we had commencement, the children sang a little song, Jesus is the answer, Jesus is the way. You know, they did their little things with their hands, but I was listening to them sing the song. And I hope those words stick in their heart and in their minds. Because the world's going to come against them and it's going to oppose them, just like it's going to oppose you. But you need to remember and understand that Jesus is still the way. Now, I don't know what's going on in anybody's heart and mind this morning, but I do know this. I know that we need to serve God while we have time. Because time's going to run out. You think, well, if you're here and you think, well, one day I intend to get my heart right with God. One day I intend to become a Christian. Today's your day because time may run out. Right. You may have something that you're dealing with and you say, well, you know, as soon as I get a little better or feel a little better, I'm going to try to turn it over to God and I'm going to try to devote my life to serving to God, the Lord. Today's your day.
Amen.
You know, the time to come and talk to God is the time that God's speaking to your heart. Because, you know, it's so easy when we get away from the house of God and we're not around God's people and the world's putting a pull on us to forget and to not be as tender in our heart and our spirit. Now's the time. What we believe in at Hiram First Baptist Church, we believe in prayer. We have altars on each side. We believe in using the altar. I think this is very important. You know, when you come to pray, if you'd like to have somebody pray with you, ladies, we have ladies pray with ladies. Men, we have men pray with men. If you want to pray by yourself, just say, leave me alone. It's okay. It's between you and God anyway, right?
Amen.
But here's what you got to do. You got to move when God speaks to you.
That's right.
And right now, if God spoke to you, would you please come?
It to